Let's see. We've had times where it'd be like a camel chasing us.
This week, Blythe interviews back-to-back World Cup champion Elizabeth Price, and in a move that may make gym fans everywhere nerd all over themselves, Spanny Tampson talks with Olympic and world medalist Samantha Peschek about the opening weekend of NCAA gymnastics.
Hey gymnasts, Elite Sports Band is a cutting-edge compression back warmer that can protect your most valued asset, your back. I'm Allison Taylor on behalf of Elite Sports Band. Visit EliteSportsBand.com. We've got your back.
This is episode 16 for January 16th, 2013. I'm Jessica.
I'm Spanny Tampson.
And I'm Samantha.
Yes, we have special guest Sam Peschek with us today, special co-host. We're really excited to have her. And as you know, this is the best and only gymnastics talk show in the world, starting with the top news stories from around the world. So let's start with the American Cup announcement. So we got the lineup now. So we know that, let's see, it's going to be Kyla Ross, it's going to be EB is competing, and then we have Ferrari from Italy. We have Danelle and Dalton from the U.S. What do you guys think about the lineup? What are your thoughts?
I think it's interesting that after last year, people are like, oh, Romania is not going to send anybody because they get screwed every year or whatever. And they're sending the exact same competitor.
Oh, yeah. Jordash is coming from Romania. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she'll do well.
Yeah. I think it's so interesting that, you know, Kyla's going again and right off the Olympics, and I just think that's going to be so exciting. And then with Evie going too, I know she's doing incredible. I talked to her coaches this summer, and her attitude and everything, just coming off of last year and being an alternate, it's just going to be a really awesome meet, and I cannot wait to watch.
So what is your opinion on, Sam, on what people think in the gymnastics community? There's many World Cups, and this World Cup is often considered one that always favors Americans. Do you think there's any truth to that?
I think not that it favors Americans. I don't necessarily think other countries send their best girls because they have those premonitions. And, you know, coming to the States, we have different equipment. You know, the time change is different. You know, the food might be different than what they're used to. I mean, it's any different. It's no different than us traveling to a different country. So I think we kind of get the home court advantage just in the fact that it's in our own country, it's our own food, it's our own hotels, you know. So I think that might be where people say we have a little step up.
And it's interesting you say premonition. They have a premonition that it's going to favor the Americans. I love that.
Just a guess. A hint.
But it's true, though. You're totally right when you say, I mean, it is the time, this time of year, this isn't the time of year when you're normally in your best shape. And that's always why I think we don't get the super top competitors, because, you know, this is when you're usually winding down, you know, and you're, you know, then start ramping up for the summer. So I think that's always the problem with the American Cup, you know, more than it's always, you know, favors the American. I think it's really the time of year.
Right. And I also think that other countries, you know, they aren't as deep. They don't have as many great competitors, whereas our country, we just have so many girls itching to compete, and so they don't want to send their top girls to, you know, 27 meets throughout the year when it comes down to world championships when they need them to be in their prime. So I think you're exactly right, where this is more of like a working time for those crucial girls for other countries.
So let's see. Beth Tweddle is now on this show called Dancing on Ice. And so it's like Dancing with the Stars or Strictly Come Dancing, the original. That's for you, one of our listeners who always tells us that is the original. Yes, all shows start in the UK. Thank you for telling us that every time. Yes, the original show is from the UK. But she's on Dancing with Ice, on Ice. And I think she did a really good job for going from gymnastics to ice skating. Like, of course, it's going to be, I mean, I looked for the acrobatic element part of it. It was cool. But, you know, the judges were really hard on her about her kind of robot gymnastics face. And, you know, she's not known for her dance. I mean, she does not have any expression on her face. Did you guys get a chance to watch? And Spanny, did you see it? And what did you think?
I It's hard for me because I grew up watching my best friends figure skate. And so I don't have, like, being from Minnesota too, it's like everybody's just kind of born learning how to skate. So I'm instantly judgy of those who can't. But she did well. She, you know, the gymnastics foundation, it helped her, you know, with the form and if not presentation. She kind of threw out some, what do like, kind of like a scale. I thought that was interesting, but the judges were right in that it was just dull. But I don't think, you know, it's with someone who's never skated before. I can't imagine how much you could actually throw at them in 1 week and expect it to be interesting. But I'm expecting more. We'll say that.
Sam, did you get a chance to watch?
No, I haven't watched it. But I talked to Danusha Francis. She's a freshman on our team. And, you know, she was teammates with Beth Twiddle. And she was kind of telling me about it. And just from what she was saying, you know, I'm so impressed that she actually got on the ice and did a routine and had some skills and stuff like that. You know, dance aside, just getting on the ice and performing a routine, I think that would have to be really challenging coming from a gymnastics background and not really having those that foundation of learning how to skate beautifully on the ice.
And Sam, you are actually, they're filming a show right now at UCLA, something that's kind of, it's like a diving reality show. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I think it's called Stars in Danger. They were actually filming before the show even started, they were filming kind of fluffs and kind of the before the show, because all the divers needed, or all the celebrities needed a little bit of a diving background. So they were on our campus. I think it was Jay Wow and Terrell Owens and Kyle from...
Oh,
Kyle
God.
And sister from Beverly Hills and
Twitch.
A few Baywatch people. So, you know, it was an entertaining crowd, and I know the swimmers and the divers that are always up there got a chance to hang out with them a little bit and talk to them, and they said it was awesome, and I actually got a chance to see the show, and it was a blast to watch. You know, I can't imagine, I can't even do the dives that some of them were doing, so I was really impressed when I was watching, that's for sure.
So, Sam, if you could do one reality show, which reality show would you choose? Any reality show, like, could be Wipeout, it could be like Amazing Race, it could be the any of the UK original shows like Dancing or Strictly Come Dancing. What would you do?
Well, if I could sing, I would do a singing show, obviously,
because obviously.
It's always been my dream to be a pop star, obviously. But since I don't, I would love to do something like Diving with the Stars or Stars in Danger, something where I learn a different sport. I love gymnastics, but I just think it would be awesome to try something new, and having so many friends that are so high up in other sports, I just think that would be really fun.
Savannah, did you watch the Danger
I
show?
Did. Cracked me up. It was really cool. Like, I mean, I saw, because the first thing I saw was Twitch, and I love Twitch from So You Think You Can Dance. So I was like, yay. And it's cool to see that any sort of athletic background at all helped them. And I'm impressed. I can dive, you know, for fun, but I would not have the balls to jump and, you know, do the 1.5 or anything. But then I saw the one woman who just did like a pencil jump, like just straight feet down. And I was in tears because they're like, good job. You really overcame your fear. And I'm like, she jumped off with like her arms over her head. I'm still thinking about it. It's just that there's, some variety, at least, in some of the dives, and I do give them credit. And the fluff pieces were interesting because it was just like repeats of everybody like face
splatting,
splatting the water, face planting the water, and just watching that on like a loop,
belly flops over and over.
But it was interesting, and I agree with Sam that it's like it's cool to see people try entirely different sports and see kind of which, you know, talents kind of help them elsewhere
and translate.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting to see. You could tell the athletes from the non-athletes, you know, the Beverly Housewives, and just, you know, focusing on their emotional connection to each other and just going for it. And then the athletes and the Baywatch crew, they were like in it to win it. You could definitely tell when they stepped up, they were they had it in their eyes, and that some of the other competitors just really wanted to get it over with.
Yeah.
Like the lady that did the straight jump. I hope they have, like, a montage of everyone's bruises on the next show. Like, I've always wanted to do, like, a double front is, like, my thing I always want to do, but I'm terrified to ever try it in gymnastics and even into the pit. And so I always do it, and I always land right on my butt when I do a double front from the diving board. And so every summer I have a bruise, like, from my low back all the way to my knees. And so I'm anticipating a montage just of that next time. And now it's time for our interview of the week. Hope you enjoy it.
Elizabeth Price is a U.S. national team member who has had quite a year. During the past 12 months, she's competed at the Olympic trials, traveled to the United Kingdom as a replacement athlete for the Olympic Games, and absolutely dominated the Stuttgart and Glasgow World Cups, where she won the all-around both times. She set herself up for an exciting 2013, and just the other day, Evie was one of two American women, with Kyla Ross, named to the 2013 American Cup. Evie, thank you for coming on the show. Big news for you this week. Congratulations. The U.S. announced the American Cup rosters, and you're on it. And I know that was a goal for you. And I was just wondering when you found out you'd be competing there.
I found out the day before they announced it. Steve Penny called my gym and told my coaches, and my coaches called me.
That's pretty awesome. Not every day that Steve Penny calls the gym and says, hey, you're going to do this, I suppose.
It was pretty exciting.
Now that you've been through an Olympic trials and that whole process, does it make you less nervous about doing an event like the American Cup?
It makes me a little less nervous. I mean, it's still a competition. I'm going to be nervous. But being at the other competitions definitely gives me more confidence going into these big international meets.
Mm-hmm. And often as a gymnast sort of goes through their career, they find that some things get a little bit easier and some things get a little bit harder. And maybe what was hard for you when you were 11 or 12 is not hard for you at 16, but maybe some of the things that were easy at that age get a little bit harder as you get older. And so I was just wondering, you know, as you've gotten more mature in gymnastics and become a senior competitor, is there anything that has gotten easier for you? And conversely, anything that has gotten harder?
Let me think. I can't think of anything that's really gotten harder. I mean, I've been working a lot of newer skills, and then you kind of work away from the old skills that I learned when I was little. But a lot of skills have gotten easier. Definitely my vaults have gotten more consistent. Things have gotten more consistent on beam. And basically everything's gotten better, I think.
That Aminar of yours is so huge. When did you start working it, and when did it really become a consistent vault for you?
I started working it a little over a year ago, and then I competed it the first time in Italy last year, and I have to say it got pretty consistent over the summer.
Cool. Are there any skills of yours that scare you to do?
Skills that really scare me. I can't say that there's skills that really scare me. I mean, a lot of skills are harder than others, but none of them make me, like, terrified or anything.
Is there any skill that you've ever seen somebody else do where you just look at that and you go, wow, I don't think I'd want to try that?
There's a lot of skills on beam that I would not really want to do.
Like what?
Let me think. Some people do a lot of, like, connections, or I'm not really sure, just beam in general. There's a lot of things there that I would not really want to try.
Well, one thing I was so impressed about your beam routine in both Glasgow and Stuttgart was the level of confidence that you displayed out there. You know, so many people, even those people who do standing fulls, just don't get out there and rip one off and just make it look so easy like that. How did you develop consistency on beam, and how do you keep the nerves down when you're in competition?
Well, I developed my consistency by really training all my skills repetitive, like repeating them over and over again. And the more I did them, the better they got and got more consistent. And then when I go out to compete, I just have to try to think that I'm at practice doing my routines just like I normally do. And it normally helps calm me down.
Excellent. And can you tell us about some of the gymnasts that you grew up admiring and who you look up to in the sport now?
When I was growing up, my favorite gymnast was Courtney Kupetz. And at the time, I also looked up to all the girls who went to the Olympics and were world champions. I thought they were amazing. And now I've gotten to meet a lot of them, being an elite and everything. And now I just try to pretend kind of like I'm them, and so that little girls can look up to me the same way.
What was it that you liked about Courtney Kupetz?
I think I just liked her gymnastics and her attitude, and she seemed really nice and everything.
Mm. And can you take us through kind of a typical day in the life of Elizabeth Price?
Sure. Let's see. I wake up at about 7 o'clock and get ready for gym and eat breakfast by 7:30. And my dad takes me to the gym, and then he goes to work. And I start practice at 8:30, and we practice till 12:30, and then have an hour break, and then we go back to working out until about 4, I'd say, and mm-hmm. by then we start conditioning and stretching and all that. And then I come home, I relax a little bit, go on the computer, read some stuff before getting to my schoolwork, and then my brother's home from school and practice, and we're doing homework, have dinner, go do more homework, and then get ready for bed. Maybe watch TV before I go to bed and start the whole thing the next day.
Oh, cool. So do you do any time in like regular school at all, or do you take correspondence courses? How does that work?
I stopped going to school in seventh grade. I'm homeschooled now. I do everything in books with a program here in Pennsylvania.
I see. I have to ask, you know, do you ever miss being in a regular classroom?
Yeah, I do, because I loved school when I was in school. I didn't really want to leave. But even now, I still get to see a lot of my friends, and I go to all the football games and a lot of dances, so I'm not completely out of it.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. What subjects do you like?
My favorite subjects are math and science.
Nice. And might that maybe grow into some sort of career opportunity when you do go to college? Have you thought about that at all yet?
Yeah, right now I'm really interested in engineering. Both my parents are engineers, and I kind of like that too.
Oh, I see. Very interesting. And so when it comes to selecting a school, what are you looking for in the university experience?
Well, I'm looking for a school that's both good academically and has a good team, and the whole overall atmosphere is friendly and comforting and make me feel at home.
All right. And what are some of the goals that you have outside of gymnastics? I realize that the sport's got to be all-encompassing for you right now, but I think it's important to emphasize, you know, to some people who might think that gymnasts just don't have anything to do outside of the gym, that there are other opportunities and other things that elite gymnasts are into, even if they have to dedicate a lot of time to practice. So can you tell me a little bit about what you like to do when you're not at practice?
When I'm not at practice, I really like to spend time with my brothers. We get along well now that we're older. So I like to hang out with them, go to their sporting events. I like to go to the mall or the movies with my family and my friends and really hang out. And that's really what I like to do in my free time.
How many brothers do you have?
I have two younger brothers. They're 13 and 14, Ethan and Eli.
I see. And are either of them involved in gymnastics?
They did gymnastics when they were younger, but now that they're older, they do football and lacrosse.
Ah, cool. You're the one with the gymnastics talent in the family?
Yeah.
So tell us actually about sort of your early days in gymnastics. How did you come to start practicing the sport?
Well, when I was younger, my parents told me that I had a lot of energy, and by the time the day was over and it was time for me to go to bed, I just didn't want to. I had so much energy. I was tiring them out. So my mom was driving past parquets every day and decided gymnastics would be a good way to tire me out. So they put me in the sport.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember this, having all of this energy and not wanting to go to bed and such?
Nope, not at all.
How old were you when you first went to parquets?
I was three when I started.
I see. And was it like an instant thing right away, love for the sport? And did your coaches immediately recognize that you were talented?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun when I was little. I never wanted to leave. And the coaches did realize that I had a lot of potential to be a great gymnast.
Mm-hmm. And at what point did somebody sit down with you or your parents and kind of say, you know, you're really, really good. You could get to a high level. At what age were you when somebody actually started talking about the Olympics and the national team and stuff like that?
Well, when I was 9, the gym, my coaches started putting me with older groups of girls who were better than me at the time. And they had me train with them instead of the lower level girls that I was training with. And that got me better. And over time, they would change me completely into the higher groups and I'd start moving faster than some of the other girls.
I see. And who coaches you now on which events?
On bars, my coaches are John Holman, Joe Stallone, and Donna Strauss. Well, she coaches me on everything, really. Mm-hmm. And on beam, I also have Robin Netwell. She coaches me. On vault, I have Bill Strauss coaching me. And on floor, Robin coaches me, too.
I see. Okay. And, you know, I heard that Parquet's Elites used to do a lot of work on the trampoline. Is that still true?
Yeah, we try to get some tramp done every day. And it really helps with knowing where we are when we're twisting and flipping. And helps helps us learn new skills, too. But we try to do that every day.
I see. And could you take us through a typical daily workout at the ranch when you're with the national team in Texas?
Okay. We normally start practice. Well, we normally go to breakfast, I'd say, around 7 o'clock. Mm. And practice starts at 8:30, and we like to get to the gym early, around 8 o'clock-ish. And we have two workouts. Our first workout is to about 12:30-ish. And then we break for a couple of hours and go back to the gym at 4. I think we start the second workout at around 4. And we practice again every event till 7. And then we have dinner. And after that, we all hang out together, maybe do homework until the next day.
Sounds like kind of an early morning, actually.
Yeah.
What's it like working with Marta Caroli? How is she like in the gym?
She always watches, she watches everyone. She pays attention to not just the girls who are at the top. It's actually great for the younger girls. And she coaches us. She's kind of in charge of everything that we do. When we go to maybe present a routine, she really writes down the criteria of what she wants us to see. She sometimes tells us maybe new skills we could be working and tries to basically help us become better gymnasts and also work together better as a team.
I see. Has she suggested any skills for you personally?
She hasn't suggested perfect skills, specific skills, but if I start working a new skill, she'll let me know that it could be a very good possibility to get into my routines, or if she sees a skill that maybe isn't for me, she'll let my coaches know.
I see. You know, and we've heard tales a little bit of scary wildlife encounters when you're at the ranch, and I was just wondering if you've had any of those.
Let's see. We've had times where there'll be like a camel chasing us, or we'll go to walk down to a lake, and we can't because there's horses in our way, and they won't move no matter what. those are some things that have happened to me.
Okay, no snakes?
I haven't encountered a snake, but my coaches have, and there have been lizards in our room before.
Oh, lizards. In your room?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, better than snakes, I guess. I spent a week definitely at the Caroli camp when I was 10, and I was scared witless the entire time that I was going to, open the door and there was going to be a snake.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, perils of being on the national team, I guess, for you guys. How would you describe the atmosphere there when you're at the ranch? Competitive, intense, fun, all the above?
I say it's not very competitive. I mean, we're all there really just training with a regular practice at the gym. I'd say that when we're down there, we're all like sisters, so it's definitely not competitive. We have a lot of fun together, even though we're in separate groups a lot. But sometimes it's a little stressful. We're working hard every day. It can be really hard. We get sore a lot. But we always have fun afterwards. It's a lot of fun being down there with all the girls.
When you're down there and you have to be sort of on when you're in the gym all those hours of the day, when you get back, do you feel like, you know, do you take a day off, or, you know, do you sort of unwind a little bit in practice once you're back home in your gym?
Depending on when we come home, we might take a day off, or if we don't take a day off, the next day would be a little bit easier. But then we get back into training normally and trying to incorporate everything we did at camp back home.
I see. And every national team member I ask, you know, tell us a little bit about the personalities of the other members of the national team when they're not in the gym, because we could sort of see you guys in competition and you're very stoic and serious. But I would like to know, you know, who's the class clown? Who's the studious one? Who's boy crazy, if you don't mind?
Let's see. I'd say there are a lot of funny girls down there, but like, I'd say that like when they're together, the funniest girls are Simone, Lexi, and Caitlin Ohashi.
Okay.
They're like the craziest ones. It's so fun to be around them.
And I don't know, who is the one who hates getting up early in the morning?
I'd say the one who hates getting up in the morning would be Kennedy Baker. I mean, she's hilarious and everything, but she does not like early morning things.
What has it been like for you this year? You've become something of a media personality, what with the Olympic trials and everything. How do you feel about the media attention you've gotten? Shy, pleased, nice to be recognized?
It's definitely nice to be recognized and doing a bunch of interviews and things. And it's not too much. I'm not out of the gym all the time or always on the phone. So I think it's just perfect for right now.
Cool. Now, Parquettes has a long history of producing national team members, and I was wondering if you had any former elites as mentors.
Let's see. I've had a lot of girls who've gone away to college and come back. A lot of them are elites, and they know what it's like going to camp and going to championships all the time. So I talk to them a lot, but nothing really like stands out. I mean, it's a lot of fun being around all the other girls, and they don't treat being an elite gymnast like anything totally special. They really enjoy gymnastics, and I try to follow in their footsteps.
What kinds of goals do you set for yourself in competition? Are you aiming for a score? Are you aiming to hit a skill? And what would be the definition of a successful meet for you?
A successful meet for me would be just to go in to the competition and do my best and hit on my routines and to try to do everything just like I do in practice. Because, I mean, I can't really control the scores. That's all in the judges' hands. So I just try to do my best.
I see. Now, is it sometimes difficult when you are traveling internationally to adjust to different mat colors and equipment in other countries? Did you find any of that in Scotland or Germany when you were there for the World Cups?
The equipment was definitely different. Different brands, you know, make different bars and beams. So I had to adjust to that a little bit. But after I got used to it, it was fine, and it was just like being on home equipment.
Mm-hmm. I understand from Anna, actually, that in Birmingham, when you guys were training, the equipment there was a little bit old and a little bit different from what you were used to. Was that the case for you?
Yeah, it was definitely different. It wasn't exactly like top-notch equipment, so mm-hmm. We had to do the best we could with what we had. But we did pretty good after we had a couple of days to get used to it.
What was it like training in Birmingham and sort of, you know, being an Olympic replacement athlete and knowing that at any time you might get the call, and yet at the same time there was this team that had been named, and if everything went well for them, you wouldn't get the call? It was kind of in limbo. What was that time like for you?
I mean, it was a little tense not knowing what would happen. I mean, I kind of wish we could have known the future so that we wouldn't be so stressed out while we were training. But we were training just like we were competing at the Olympics. Like, we were already named to be 105 to compete. Practices weren't any easier. I'm sure we were doing the exact same thing the Fierce Five were doing while they were in London.
Yeah, yeah. And what was the highlight of the Olympic experience for you? Did you guys get to see anything of London?
We got to watch both of the team competitions.
The men and the women?
Just the two women's competitions.
What was it like to be sitting in the stands that night and to see the American team take the gold medal in such a dominating fashion, too?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, I'd say, to be able to go out and actually see the whole competition. It was so much different being in the stands, and I had a lot. It was like a whole different experience not being out there competing. It's like I could feel how the girls felt during every event, and I was able to almost pretend I was down there. But it was cool to see how they completely dominated every event and how they hit everything and definitely deserved their win.
Can you explain a little bit more how you think they felt during the competition, you know, as you went through the four events, starting on vault?
Well, vault is a very strong event for the U.S., so I'm sure they weren't very nervous about that one, and it showed. They did great on vault. And then as they went through each event, I'm sure they got more confident and more excited to see what would happen at the end of the competition. And by the end, I think they knew that they pretty much had it if they just hit their last event, and they did, and they did very well.
Were there any other countries or competitors who stood out to you as you just sort of looked around the arena?
I mean, all the other teams, they had girls who were good at certain events, you know, specialists and all that. But I think that our team was the best as far as all around goes. And I think that was really a really important factor when it came down to seeing who would win.
Oh, definitely. And did you find it motivating to have been in London and had the experience of being able to be there in the arena? Or was it just hard to watch and not be on the floor yourself?
Well, I'd have to say I really actually enjoyed being in the stands, and I was really happy for all the girls who were down there competing. I mean, I wish I could have been competing with them. But I think they did great, and I'm happy it went the way it did.
I see. And Evie, I have just one last question, and I sort of saved this one for the last, and you are under no obligation to answer it. But since Gabby put it out there about experiencing racism in the gym growing up, is it all right to ask if you've ever experienced that either?
Yeah, you can. Oh, it's a fine question. I haven't experienced anything at my gym. I mean, there are a lot of different race of girls at my gym, and no one that I know of has ever experienced anything bad. Everyone gets along perfectly fine at Parkettes.
Absolutely awesome. Evie, is there anything else you wanted to add? You have been terrific.
Thanks, but that was everything, I think.
All right, so are you going to the gym today, or do you have Saturdays off?
Saturdays are off.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you so much for doing the interview, and we will see you at the American Cup.
The most exciting thing that has happened since we were last on the show last week is that the NCAA season finally began. I'm so excited. Oh, I live for this time of year. So, Spanny has prepared a little recap for us. And of course, Sam was at the UCLA meet and doing a little, you were doing some commentary on air, yeah, Sam?
Yeah, it was really exciting. It was a new role. I obviously wish I was competing, but it was really exciting to do that for once.
And how's your Achilles? Well, actually, you know what? While we have you here, can you tell us about exactly what happened when you were injured and about what you said after you landed on the mat? Because that was quite a moment.
Yes. Well, I was, we were having an inner squad, and I was one of the last girls to go. It was my last floor routine of the day, my last pass of the day. Right as I went to punch my double pike, I just felt it. Like, right as I punched, I knew what had happened. And then when I squatted, I looked at my Achilles, and there was a dip in it. You know, it was clear. I tore my Achilles. So, a few of the girls on the team have already done it, and I know a few are, you know, have that fear, and I didn't want to freak them out because it didn't hurt at all. It really didn't. But I just kind of looked up, and I just really calmly said, don't freak out, but I just tore my Achilles.
Oh, no.
And at first, everyone was like, what? Like, no way. Like, and the trainers came over and were like, okay, try and move your foot. And I was like, I can't, obviously. And they were like, okay, yeah, you definitely tore your Achilles. And so they just carried me off to the side, and you know, just to have my team there supporting me, and I know that a bunch of them have already gone through it. It was knowing that I had them and I had people to follow the recovery after. You know, I knew it was going to be okay. It's a long road to recovery, but it's going to be fine.
It is really nice that you have had like teammates who've had this injury and have come back 1,000%. Like, they're fine. You would never, ever know.
Right. Yeah, and they were texting me, like, when I was home right after surgery, making sure I was okay. You know, Alicia Sacramone reached out to me and was kind of telling me about hers. And so just the more people that were kind of, you know, contacting me and letting me know it was going to be okay, and it's just a long road, you know, it really made me feel at ease. And I'm okay right now, and I'm off crutches, so that's great. And I think I got to get through a few more months out of this suit, and then I think we're home free.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. All right. So let's talk about NCAA last week. What were the highlights for you? Spanny, tell us.
Well, again, reiterating that this was from the previous weekend. This is from the January 4th to January 6th. Highlights. Let's start. I just kind of made like a checklist of routines of the week, things that stood out to me. I would say the surprise of the week, something I wasn't expecting, was the LSU floor rotation. Just insanity. They 49-5-2-5 in their very first meet, with a couple of different routines that now maybe they've gone viral with Lomincia Hall, obviously, and Reagan Corville. Just huge scores, and yeah, it's SEC and blah blah blah. But I mean, you can watch the routines yourselves. They hold up, and for the first meet, first week. It was incredible.
It's interesting, too, that this is the first year that Jay is the assistant coach there now, right, from Georgia, who was the assistant. So I wonder if this, I mean, you know, LSU, I feel like, has always had good potential, but they've only had, like, a couple gymnasts. They've never had depth. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if Jay is making a big impact there.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be some sort of, I don't know what the term I want to use is, but yeah, like, it's got to feel good for him to kind of show what he's capable of. And
yeah, it's got to be great redemption after getting fired, or, you know, well, not fired, but, you know, probably probably asked to resign. Let's say it that way.
Yes. Encouraged. Honorable mention again to Reagan Corville for the all around of a 39-5 in her first meet. Yeah. I think the high scores are impressive right away, but that always worries me, is that, you know, where do you go from there? Hard to build. Let's see, where else do I have? Let's start with routine of the week. It's not starting. Bridget Sloan on vault. Very first routine of her collegiate career, 9925. Thought that was pretty special. I haven't watched routines from last night yet, so.
Sam, what did you think? You watched that vault, right?
Yeah, Bridget.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, what can you expect from, you know, an elite gymnast that already had clean form and already is used to sticking her landings? I noticed that before college, when we both trained together, even on floor, she kind of had that special talent where she would always kind of, you know, stick the landing. She didn't even do the step out to a lunge. So, I mean, the steps on vault are just a no-brainer for her. She had good amplitude, tight form. You know, I think that she's going to be clutch for their team on vault this year.
And she was actually your training partner in between when your coach went back to China and before you came to UCLA, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was just Bridget and I and Marvin. So it was a lot of fun, to be honest. We're very opposite, but we're perfect training partners. So it was interesting to kind of have our friendship and our dynamic, because we're both so different.
And it's interesting that watching, you know, when I watch elites transition to college, like, elite is just so freaking insanely hard that when I see elites transition to college, I'm like, oh my gosh, she has really nice form. Look how pretty she can do that. You know, and I thought that when I watched Bridget, I watched her routines and I was like, oh, look how, I mean, she was nice and, you know, she was, had great form actually for elite and the difficulty she was doing. But now it's like NCAA just brings it out even more. You can really enjoy her form and extension.
Yeah, it was definitely emphasized, I think, in like all of her routines, and her bar work too, just since it's a shorter routine. Her bigger skills, it's just like a, oh wow, you know, wow moment when you watch it. You know, I was able to Skype with her when I was home, and she had just gotten back, and she loves it. She loves college, and it was before the meet, and she was just itching to compete again and so excited to compete with the team, because I mean, I trained with her, but she's never really trained with a team before. So I think that's going to be like a really new and exciting experience for like all year.
And you could tell that she just loves it too, as somebody at home watching, like in the background of every other teammate's routine, she's the one cheering and screaming. That it's entertaining to watch her, but you can just tell she loves it, and you know, she'll be captain material soon.
Yeah,
if she wasn't
in
like
her
a week,
consistency, but... too.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm just gonna go down my list. These aren't, I mean, some of these aren't as positive as they are negative. I just don't have them in an order. Okay, so let's start overscore of the week. And Sam, just don't listen. Sofina, okay. De Jesus, on even bars. I'm going to quote Uncle Tim. This isn't even my quote. What in capitals? Leg separation on release, missed handstand, crazy legs on dismount, plus a step, 9.9? Question mark, question mark, question mark. But that said, I mean, Sofina had an amazing first routine, or first meet, I should say. And then she was, when did she pack 12 freshmen? Last week, but that said, the score was a little sketchy. Not quite sure where the score came from. Honorable mention to Kat Hires on vault from Georgia, 9.925, and also Pritchett on floor exercise with a 9.9. And I think that's only because, given the other people in that floor rotation, that there wasn't a way to separate.
Those were over scores as well, or those were honorable mention for great routines?
Oh, no, those are overscores. I'm sorry.
Overscores, yes, okay.
Starting from the top of my list, okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
We'll start, those will be our overscores of this past week. That, we did that. Anchor of the week, Vanessa Zamaripa on balance beam, 9.875. After a not-so-pretty solid UCLA beam rotation, she, of course, came in and nailed it, and it was wonderful. And
that routine, I felt like was what we were waiting for Zam to just be like, you will obey me. Like, yeah. This balance beam is mine. You will not. I just loved it. Like, she was just like so fierce. She was like,
She just like, I feel like her body must move in like a different time and space than anybody else's. Like, time just must go slower for her, because everything she does is just calmer. It's, I feel like I'm watching it in slow motion, but in like a good way. It's like she's like the Xanax of gymnastics. I don't know what it is. Everything's calm. It's chill. Everything's okay. And she hits it. And it's incredible.
Yeah, that beam routine. What did you think when you watched that beam routine, Sam?
I was trying not to freak out because I had the headset on. And, my initial instinct is to just like, especially when the girls are on beam, I feel like it's my place. More than any of the other events, to kind of, you know, go up to the girls and talk to them after. And, you know, if there was the one fall, then I would definitely make it a point to, you know, go talk to the next girl up. I'm not sure who that was. But, you know, and sitting in the chair with the headset on, I couldn't do that. I couldn't, you know, cheer like I normally do. And so I was trying to, like, I was internally freaking out. But when she went up, I know that she's really good about not having the other competitors influence her meet. You know, whether people fall, whether people make it, it doesn't really help or hinder her routine that she's about to do. And so right as she stepped up, I can tell in the look in her eyes, you know, it's just her and the beam, and she's going to do what she's practiced, and she's definitely ready. I mean, this is her fifth year. I don't want to say that she has gymnastics mastered, but her routines right now are pretty easy for her, and you can tell she's just having fun with you know, playing around with her easy gymnastics because it's so comfortable for her.
It just makes it look like fun. I don't know, everything's that's easy, and she's not going to die doing it. It's like a different experience watching her. Lead off of the week, we'll go to Danusha Francis on beam for UCLA. She, and I put this in quotes, only 9.8, but it's such a stylish and it's a solid routine to start the rotation. I've been a fan of hers for a while, but again, like you said, you know, you never know how the transition from elite to NCAA is going to go. And it was just, she was calm. It was, it's just a different routine than what you normally see in NCAA. And, I enjoyed it. I thought it was incredible. Okay, I'm going to talk about that later. Never mind. Well, let's do leotard of the week, and that goes to Florida. The stripe, it was like a solid blue, maybe minimal sparkles, but it had the stripes around the waist, which I would think would not be flattering on a lot of people, but it really was. And it reminded me of like the early 90s. I feel like I have pictures of Kim Zemeskal wearing a similar leotard.
Yes, that is what it looked like. You know, I did not care for that leotard, I have to say. Meh. I'm eh on that.
I also thought Oklahoma had a classy leotard, we'll say. With it was like their normal colors, but it wasn't blinding, but it was flattering, classy.
Well, nothing. Freshman. No, there weren't any leotards this time that made me want to poke my eyes out with a fork, so that's good.
No hogs on the foot.
Hey, there's yes.
Good. I'm so happy.
Thanks, Sam. Sam has heard many of my comments about leotards, so yeah.
Number one priority. I think it's got to be fun. Like, oh yeah, I design a leotard for, like every week of the year, but sometimes I just. You know, and when you have such a team full of girls or different shapes and sizes, like what, you know, might flatter one girl might not on the other, but everybody's got to wear the same thing. And yeah, I don't have to wear them. That's what's important. Freshman of the week. Hey, this is courtesy of Lauren Hopkins. She writes for The Couch Gymnast. And when I told her I was putting this together, she's like, you have to put this girl in because she was just really impressed. Haley Skaman from University of Oklahoma, 9.8 for an impressive Yurchenko 1.5. She got a 9.875 on uneven bars immediately after teammates fall and another 9.875 on floor, which isn't bad for her very first collegiate performance. Freshman of the week. Now, we'll call it the what the fudge of the week. And I know I have this name wrong, so I'm not even going to say it. But let's... Everybody, I think, was pretty impressed by the SUU vault rotation.
Yes, I totally liked watching their vaults. Like, they were very different. I love seeing something different. I liked watching them. They took their weaknesses and turned them into an advantage on vault, and it also gave us something new and exciting or old school to watch.
I enjoyed some of the other, but that the last vault wasn't a vault.
Okay, so what was the last... Who... Okay, what's her name again? Who did that last vault?
I put it as Rochelle Bernier, but I in retrospect, I don't think that's... I think I had it wrong, because when I rewatched the vault video, there was, like, a compilation, because...
Was it Michaela... Was this the full-on 1.5 off?
It was, like, a 1.25 on, one and... Yeah, it was...
Okay, let's discuss. Sam, did you watch this vault?
Yes, I watched it, and, you know... I feel like I've seen lots of different kinds of vaults. And when she went for that, I'm not going to lie, my first reaction was, oh, dear God. I thought she slipped. I had no idea that was coming. I guess I didn't watch her warm up. I was really terrified. But then after, like thinking about it, it was really cool. I mean, you know, we were talking about it and when I was commentating, and I don't know what the vaults were, but they have to give her some credit from doing something unique. However, there wasn't any amplitude at all, but it was really cool to watch. And, you know, when we're used to watching the same, you know, monotonous Yurchenko full, it was kind of a breath of fresh air to see some new and exciting things.
I agree. I think I enjoyed seeing the different vaults, but like you mentioned, the amplitude, like I went back and I was like, did she touch the table? Because I'm not entirely sure that she did. I went back and I like paused at the moment, and there's like a 3-finger scrape of the table, and then she just kind of plopped on the other side. I'd love to see that vault, but with an actual, like, I don't know, it's probably impossible to do on that, the new table, but new, it's 10 years. But like a repulsion from the table as like a post flight, as a, you know, a vault needs a beginning, middle, and end. And that was just a splash of gymnastics. I don't know. There weren't pieces.
I think like the thing with that vault is like I've seen people attempt that many times and it never looks good. It always looks like they're going to tear both their ACLs when they land because they're always still twisting and going like in a direction towards the crowd rather than towards the mats. And it always terrifies me. And that was the first time I saw that vault and I was like, oh my God, like she actually landed straight ahead and I wasn't worried about any of her joints, which I consider the best way you can ever do that vault. I've never seen it done that well. And so I was just like, that's great. I didn't even notice the repulsion, because basically I feel like it's impossible to get good repulsion off that vault, so I was really happy with it.
I'd be interested to see it again, if we get another video of it.
She has. I watched this morning. We'll put it up on the website. There's a video of her, like her intro video from SSU, and it has some really cool camera work. You can see it from the top, actually, and it looks like it has a little more repulsion than it did at the meet, but we'll put it up.
I guess they had like a video. There was a guy who did it, kind of like a mini documentary. I watched it just the other day that, you know, documented like that the day of the meet, or that had pretty cool shots of all the vaults.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth taking a peek at. Let's move on to unfortunate hair of the week.
Sam's favorite topic. No. Yay.
Oh, no. I'm usually at the top of this list, huh?
Only when your ponytail flops in your eyes. I worry about you.
And I write extensively about hair, and that doesn't bother me as much. It's, again, it's like I blog about this a bit, but it's the hair that they look like they spend a really huge amount of time making it look like crap. That's my number one pet peeve. And luckily, I think we're kind of moving away from that trend of the I'm trying really hard to not care trend, but not really just, I don't know. I don't know. We're not even going to get into it because I'll talk about it for quite some time. That said, I do think that the trend is moving away from like distracting. But now they do the hair bows. What's with that?
I don't care for this bow. Like, where do you stand on the bows, Sam?
On the bows? I'm not a fan of the bows. I'm not a big fan of scrunchies, though, either. Mm. I think, but that's like wearing a scrunchie is not my favorite. But I think a team looks good when they all wear the scrunchie. I think it does look good. Don't tell Miss Valley I said that. But I like the scrunchie when the whole team wears it, but I'm not a big bow fan. Just because, you know, you can never make the bow look the same with everybody. And, you know, it can fall out. It can, like, kind of, like, plop over. So you can't really tell that it's a bow, and it's just kind of ribbon, like, flailing around. But
now,
I know some people wear it for luck and for other reasons, so that may be different.
Now, you guys did something really unusual last year, which is you guys all wore flowers in your hair like Peng Peng started doing. And I've never seen a team besides you guys and Peng Peng do that. And I loved that change, actually. And I don't know if just because it was different or it looked really pretty, but do you guys consider, how did that all come about?
To be honest, I kind of don't. It was the senior meet. And so they wanted to do something different for the senior meet, if I remember correctly. And so the seniors were just going to wear it, and then Miss Al really liked it, so she was like, nah, I want everyone to wear it. So we all put it in our hair for that meet, and then I think a lot of people liked it, and I think, did we do it again? I'm not sure if we did it again or if it was just a few meets, but yeah, I know we did that last year, and it was a little bit of a change, and I liked it because it was different, definitely, but yeah, it was, I'm more of like the queen front part, and I don't like a lot of stuff that could fall out. I don't like to think about it. So I wasn't a big fan of wearing it in the competition, but I thought it looked good.
Yeah, I would be paranoid that it was going to fall out during floor, and then I wouldn't know, and then I would run back the other way and, like, land on it and, like...
Right.
Yeah, that's totally...
Yeah.
What did you think of the flowers, Fanny?
Again, as long as they're not distracting, I think it's a nice accessory. I love when Peng Peng does it. And I thought it was really cute in Canada. You know, they all did their tribute to her this summer. I think there's classy and subtle ways to do, you know, accessories while you're competing without, you know, stamping your face full of tattoos or whatever the trend is this year. Yeah, yes. That said, falling out during routine terrifying me, or even your hair coming undone. Like, there's that video of Ferrari where, like, her hair's flapping in the air and she's just nails it anyway. That's so
I seriously, when her entire ponytail came out and she still finished that floor routine, I was like, oh my god, she's amazing. She's totally amazing.
I even have like a piece of my hair, my bang falls on my face, I like freak out. So
I have to say that even though I always complain about face tattoos and obnoxious hair stuff and everything, like, I do appreciate that this is represent, like, we have such different styles because it's such a big country and we have so many different styles, and just, you really see the diversity of the U.S. when you watch NCAA gymnastics. And I always feel like when other people, like, talk about gymnastics, and I'm like, well, our country's totally different no matter where you go. Like, we're very, very unique. So I'm kind of proud of that, even though I complain about it. Okay, carry on.
Oh, that's so true, though. And that kind of, like, when you even think about, styles of routines, you think about floor routines, you know, head down south, you're going to get some Bama stuff. And that's just how it is. But if you, you know, you head elsewhere and, you know, you head out west, obviously it's Miss Val's influence too. But things just, in my opinion, and this is because I spent some time on the West Coast, is like they get a little classier over there. That said, let's move into gratuitous overuse of the robot in twerking of the week. Goes to the entire Ball State floor rotation. Huh. I watched those routines and I was like, interesting. Really bizarre. And it was the performance that I have to applaud them on because they really committed to this stuff.
So for real, like, Sam, you watch some of these. So, like, it's actually the robot? Like, robot?
Well, you know, when I watched Nicole Allen's floor routine, well, first of all, her tumbling was huge. She did a double Arabian first pass, double back second pass, and both were huge. So I was impressed by that. But yeah, overall, I thought her dance was a little stiff. And then after her second pass, the music kind of went into Cat Daddy, and she kind of did like the mini Cat Daddy into the robot. And yeah, it was an interesting way of choreographing that, you know. I think that if you're gonna go all out and do things like that, it needs to be a little bit more energetic, a little bit more. I don't even know the word, but yeah, I thought for the choreography in her floor routine, it needed to be a little bit. Something was missing. I'm not sure what, but something was missing.
Something was like a level of commitment that they knew that like they were laughing with us, but they knew that what they were doing was kind of silly, but they weren't entirely committed to it, so they were kind of. Like, when you're watching a play and somebody's breaking character because they know what they're saying is really funny, I felt like I was watching them start to laugh with me. I don't know, but it's interesting you mentioned tumbling. It was incredible. Like, they fell on every bale on their bar routines, every layout on beam, and then they go to floor and they just do these incredible passes. What a weird team. They're, like, awesome and they intrigue me.
Right. I also think... You know, like the illusion of judging too. I mean, for the passes and the hard skills that they did have, if they could just clean up their dance and the performance aspect, it could really just influence their score so much and clean up their landings a little bit. You know, they could be contenders and they could really compete with some other high level teams. Because, you know, the hard part, the tumbling, they really had that. So if they could just figure out a way to change up their choreography and kind of really sell it, then I think they'd have it made.
I'm going to keep an eye on them this year. Just, I don't know, out of like a morbid curiosity or that I really do think maybe they'll do well. They caught my attention.
Yes.
And, Justin, I think this is you, but ridiculous quote of the week. I feel like we are the underdogs this year. NCAA all-around champion Keetra Hunter.
Yeah, I didn't put that one in there, but that is really funny.
I didn't see that before, but yeah, that's not after last night. I don't know. In a way, I don't agree with them being underdogs. That they're not my number. I mean, they've been number one pick for everybody for the last, you know, 2 or 3, 4 years, and you know that hasn't worked out for them. So. Why will this year be different? I don't know.
Yeah, so for our listeners, we are recording on Saturday the 12th. And so last night, Florida had a poor performance, we'll call it that. And it's really sad. This is the thing that just kills us with Florida every year is because they're so close. And then they just inevitably, like, don't pull it together at some point. But then again, we've seen this with UCLA sometimes, going up and down and up and down. But, you know, I watched them an interview on Gymnastique with Rhonda Fain, and she said that they've changed their plan this year, and they're going to go more the route of back not starting off so hardcore in the beginning of the season and just really like building slowly towards the end of the season rather than starting off like go crazy from the very beginning, you know, because really you just can't do that when you compete this many times in a season.
Yeah, the pacing has always, I think, been a concern in terms of, yeah, I mean, how do you hold back a group of that, you know, talent? How do you, you know, keep the reins on them? And then That said, I mean, that's, I think they are kind of a wild card in the sense that they could either absolutely live up to every expectation, or they'll fall short, and just like every other team. Yeah.
Sam, do you think that, you know, they're at this point where they have had this, they have been the team that people have thought were going to finally be the fifth team to win a national championship in Division I NCAA gymnastics, and they've been so close. Do you feel like that's hanging over their head now, that expectation that they haven't been able to meet, and that might be a hindrance at this point because it's such the topic when everyone talks about them?
You know, I thought that, you know, talking to a bunch of the girls after nationals last year, just how close that they were to winning, and they were all in pretty good spirits, and I was kind of confused why, and they said that's the best that they've ever done at nationals. And I didn't really realize that in, like, the history of Florida gymnastics, they are, like, at their prime right now. And so if they can just keep getting a little bit better, and, you know, maybe I definitely don't think that they're an underdog. I'm not sure who if they self-proclaim themselves as underdogs, maybe to take some of the pressure off or to kind of, you know, I'm not sure, but I don't think that they're underdogs at all, you know, given that the talent they have on their team. But I do think it's smart for Rhonda and the other coaches to kind of try and pace them a little bit early on. I noticed the past few years, their all-arounders typically compete, you know, all around more, pretty much majority of the meets. And, you know, the lineups the past 2 weekends, not their normal all-arounders have only been doing 2 or 3 events. So I think that's a little bit smarter to try and kind of use their depth to their advantage and make it to the end of the season where they can all be fresh and ready to go.
I like how Sam's like, they were kind of happy after they took second, because Sam would just want to, like, destroy things and, like, take a, like, machete to her hotel room if she didn't win. So... This is like, seriously,
yeah,
Sam.
I'm not a good loser, that's for sure. Never have been, you know, I can be polite, I can, you know, this, that, and the other, but there is not 1 ounce of me that is happy when I don't get, me or UCLA does not win first place.
Yep, that's what makes you so good.
Thank you.
Right. Is it time to talk about Lumencia Hall's routine, or do we have more?
Nope, that's ready? It. That's all.
Apparently. Let's discuss. This routine has been the topic of the gymternet. People are like, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. Other people are like, oh my God, are you kidding? Other people are like, okay, tumbling, but the rest isn't performance. Like, it's totally controversial. I love it. So what do you guys think?
I'm kind of indifferent. You know, I think she wins the award for, you know, the most energetic, most enthusiastic, not only can you tell that she's having fun and she kind of pumps herself up while she's doing it. She feeds off her own energy. Her team feeds off her energy. And I think it brings a lot of attention, not only to LSU, but to NCAA gymnastics. And it really brings in a wider range of, you know, fans watching, because it's totally different. It's not the normal artistic choreography that we're used to seeing. NCAA, yeah, it's a lot more fun choreography, but she really brings it to a whole nother level, and I can appreciate that she's doing something unique. She's being talked about. She's willing to take that risk, you know, and kind of go the extra mile to kind of, you know, she can tell it makes her happy, so she doesn't really care what other people think because she enjoys what she's doing. So I'm impressed with that.
I loved it. I mean, I feel like I have a range of, you know, styles of floor that I really enjoy. I love some of the balletic stuff. I love Miss Val's quirky stuff, you know. But it's impossible not for me to not absolutely be riveted by Lumencia's routine. I just love that style. I love the energy. I love the commitment to it. I feel like I've watched, again, in watching some of her routines from last year, and it stays true to the two routines I've seen hers this year, it's not the same performance from week to week. It changes up, and I think that's a result of being kind of in the moment and not having, you're doing choreography, but you're not doing, you know, this toe goes here and this finger goes here. She's actually dancing. She's moving And it's very in the moment. I think it's contagious. I have to like smile and giggle and love her when I watch this routine. I understand how it might not be, you know, some people's cup of tea because they want to watch Soviet gymnastics. I don't know. But I love what she puts out there. Like, I love it. I love it.
The thing about this routine that I love, like, it's not the dance, it's not even the tumbling. The tumbling's ridiculous. But it's that, this is, like, the thing I love about American NCAA gymnastics in a nutshell. Which I feel like you don't see this anywhere else in the world. Like, this is our thing. Like, this is what makes American gymnastics totally unique. You will never see a routine like that anywhere else. It's the performance aspect of it. And in NCAA, whether you think it's artistry or it's not artistry or whatever the argument is, she is engaging. She is looking at the crowd. Even if you think she looks ridiculous, she will draw you in. Like, she is engaging. And that is the thing that is key in NCAA. Performance is key in NCAA. It makes such a difference. And it's genius, too, because you can take someone who, you know, she's not going to have the body type that looks great doing the Soviet-style ballet. So you play to her strength. You use that as her strength, and you take her performance aspect and don't make her hold a scale. Make her, you know, do the caddy daddy, whatever those, you know, whatever the kids do nowadays. But I just thought it was great. It totally made me smile. It made me want to cheer for her. And that's the kind of thing that NCAA gymnastics is all about. So I dug it.
I think what also is really cool, if you watch her routine and her tumbling, you know, it's not easy tumbling. It's super hard tumbling. She goes high. It's huge. Then right after, and even right before and right after her tumbling, you know, it's like a walk in the park for her. She's totally thinking about her dance and just enjoying the moment. And, you know, it kind of just shows how good of a gymnast that she is, that she really doesn't even need to think about her tumbling so much because it's kind of just so easy and casual for her to just, you know, let me just run down here and do the best, biggest double layout that I can do, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's all cool to watch.
That's a really good point because, you know, you can tell also if someone's worried about and scared of their tumbling or if they're not in good condition, if they're not in great shape. And in her routine, like, you're totally at ease. You're not worried. Like, she's in the moment, you're in the moment. And I think that's a really great point that that makes her stand out as well. Sam, that was a great point.
And she has that almost like leftover energy at the end too, how every time after every routine, she's got the energy to jump and throw fists. And I'm like, I would be dead. I would actually die on the floor because I'd be so exhausted from not only the tumbling, but the amount of energy she puts into the entire routine, that how she has any leftover for anything, I don't know. But I watch that routine. Any routine that I can watch, especially with floor routines that I can enjoy and I want to watch more than one time, especially at the same performance. I watched the routine from last week. Like, this, she's going to think I'm, like, creepy. But I watched it, like, probably 7 or 8 times in a row because I just – there was something else to watch every time. And I don't know. That's a treat.
And 2-time World Championships competitor and NCAA champion, Ukrainian gymnast Lena Dekteva will tell us about what it was like to train at Round Lake with greats like Oksana Chusovitina and Olympic gold medalist Tatiana Gutsu. I'm really excited to bring her to the show because even though she's not like a super name brand gymnast who a lot of people might know, this is one of the things I love about podcasts. And this is why I love interview podcasts so much, like our show, because I get introduced to people that I might not have known about before. And, you know, I met Lena a while ago and I basically cornered her in a bar and made her tell me her entire life story. And we've been friends since. And I was like, you know, people would really love hearing this. Like, these are the kind of, you know, stories that gymnastics fans like to hear. So I'm super excited to bring you guys that interview next week. I also want to tell you guys that we have a new way to support the show besides rating us on iTunes and downloading the Stitcher app. You can also buy books from our Amazon bookstore or now the the Powell's bookstore. Powell's is a rare bookstore in Oregon who has stuff like Arkayev, Leonid Arkayev's book. I didn't even know he wrote a book, but you can buy it at the Powell's bookstore. And there's some really rare stuff that you can't find anywhere else. And so you can find that through our through the bookstore on our shop on the website. And you can also always get in touch with us. We love your feedback. We love hearing from you. And you can email us at jimcastic@gmail.com. You can leave us a message on our Jim line at 415-800-3191. Leave a question or a comment for us there. So until next week, I'm Jessica O'Byrne from masters-gymnastics.com.
Spanny Tamson from Spanny's Big Fake Smile.
And Samantha Peschick. You can follow me at Samantha Peschick on Twitter.
Thanks. See you guys next week.